God, for what you continue to do in our lives through your Holy Spirit, Lord. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I just look around this room and my heart is filled with joy at so many faces tonight, Lord. We thank mm-hmm. you that you've put it on each one of our hearts to be here tonight, Lord. We thank you. There's so many other places we could be, but we'd much rather be here with you, Lord. So we thank you. We thank you for Ray, Jesse, and all those that put in time and effort to teach your word, Lord. So we love you. We thank you. We lift all these things up in your precious son's name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
So this will be the last week I go, right, Jesse?
Right.
Before you pick it up again. So we're going to be looking at, I said last week, Lady Folly, Lady Foolishness. So we're going to read a lot up front. We're going to do 6 verses each. And it's going to start at chapter 9. So Rob, going towards your, what is it, left?
Let me turn around.
Yep, left. So 6 verses in chapter 9. Then Joyce, 6 verses, chapter 9. And you go on till we finish chapter 9, and then I'll assign another chapter. What? We're in Proverbs. That's a good, I think everybody needs to know where we're at. Proverbs yeah. chapter 9.
It helps. I was yeah. like, chapter 9 of what?
Yeah, it's a good call.
Hurry up and tell.
Proverbs chapter 9. And then after that, we'll read Proverbs chapter 7. So when you finish chapter 9, then the next group will start with Proverbs chapter 7. And then when we finish Proverbs chapter 7, we'll read Proverbs chapter 5.
No way. Too much information.
And it's a lot of information. We'll be here at 10 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, we're going to be here a long time. And then I'll sign a few more verses as we go around. So start it off, Rob. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 6.
Wisdom has built her house. She has honed out her 7 pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. Him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live and proceed in a way of understanding.
Pause right there. Remember last week we were talking about Lady Wisdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
How she was calling out and anybody can come nearby, right? And she was inviting people in to give her wisdom, right? And we talked about her. And Rob just read a little bit more on Lady Wisdom. Okay, so Joyce, next 6 verses.
Okay. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Is that 6?
No.
1 hour?
2 more.
Till 12. 2 more.
Can't count. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone.
All right, pause there. And now did you see here, again, talking about wisdom, but also talking about the point that wise people want to get wiser, right? Did you see that? That it said, you reprove a wise man in verse 8, and he will love you. So if you tell a wise man what you're doing is wrong, the wise man will say, thank you for telling me. Because that helps the wise man get wiser. Look at the verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he'll be wiser. You're helping the wise person by telling them and giving them instruction. But, verse 7, if you correct a scoffer, you get dishonor for yourself. You reprove a wicked man, you insult yourself. The Proverbs makes it very black and white, right? So, wisdom, you want wisdom, you grow in wisdom, you get wise, you get wiser. Right? All right, so now Phyllis, next 6 verses.
A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on the seat the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell.
All right, let's go to chapter 7.
You don't want to pause?
Huh?
You didn't want to pause?
No pause there. Yeah, because we're getting into folly now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I look through my casement.
Frank, verses 7 through 12.
And saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times, she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner.
Marty, verses 13 through 18.
So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offering with me. Today I have paid my vows, so I came out to meet you diligently to see your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, covered with, Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed, my myrrh, my aloe, and my cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning, and let us delight ourselves in love, with love. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Verses 19 to 24 is the next one.
For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and he will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is his life. Hearken unto me now therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth.
Jesse, verses 25 through 27.
Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, may strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death.
Al, if you could start chapter 5, verses 1 through 6.
My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, too, that you may observe discretion, and you, your lips, may reserve knowledge. 3, for the lips of an adulteress drip honey and smoother than oil. 4, but in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. 5, her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of Sheol. 6, she does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know.
Verse, very good, thank you. Logan, verses 7 through 12 mm-hmm. of Proverbs chapter 5.
My sons, listen to me. Don't turn away from what I say. Stay on a path far away from evil, from that evil woman. Don't even go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor to other people. You will give your self-respect to someone who is mean. Strangers will put use up all your wealth. Your hard work will make someone else rich. At the end of your life, you will groan. Your skin and your body will be worn out. And you will say, how I hate to take advice. How my heart refused to be corrected.
Thank you. So Donna, you have the 13 through 18.
Okay, 13. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thy own cisterns, and running waters out of thy own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be washed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth.
Lovely deer, graceful doe, let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray.
Rich, can you read Proverbs chapter 2, verses 16 to 19?
Deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Good?
Very good. Thank you. We read a lot of passages. A lot of passages. Did anything jump out in all of that reading that you were going through? Anything that you saw, anything that seemed repetitious, things that you saw that you were like, oh, I wonder how many times that keeps coming up?
Stay away from adulteress.
Yeah, each of those passages had to do with an adulteress, right?
Yeah.
And when we started off, though, I did it on purpose, because by the end we were hearing adulteress, 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 adulteress. But did you notice in chapter 9 when we were reading, verse 13, who was this adulterous woman? It says in verse 13, the woman of folly, the foolish woman. But chapter 9 also started off with a different woman. Mm-hmm. Wisdom has built her house. Mm-hmm. Did you notice in verse 4, this woman said, in verse wisdom said, whoever is naive or whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Right? Mm-hmm. Whoever lacks understanding, She says, come and eat my food. But in verse, when we looked over at the Lady Folly, look at verse 16 of chapter 9. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, and then she has a different words for her food. Her food is stolen. You notice they're saying the same words?
Yep.
Wisdom is saying the same words as Lady Wisdom is saying the same words, and Lady Folly is saying the same words. Look also something else with Lady Wisdom. Look at verse 11. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. And I think when we were reading, you might have heard when Jesse read, and then I can't remember who were the other two passages that read, how did the events end with the adulterous woman?
Not good. Not well.
Not good.
Depths of hell.
Oh, yeah. Pretty bad. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't end with a divorce. It ends, like here in chapter 9, it says, her house, the dead are there, and the guests are in the depths of hell.
The wages of sin is...
That sounds a little bit more than adulterous, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more than an adulterous?
Deep.
Maybe. Maybe a little bit more than adulterous.
A lot more.
Look at chapter 7. The adulterous woman that we were looking at. In verse 25. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous all her slain. Her house is the way to
hell.
Sheol.
Yeah, Sheol, hell.
Agreed.
Same, it's an adulterous woman, but that seems pretty big for an adulterous woman, right? Her house goes right to hell.
What happens to the guy?
Well, it sounds like if her house is leading to hell and she's sitting on top of it,
and
that's where he's ending up.
That's where he's going.
Look at chapter, what was it, chapter 2 that we saw also? It said in verse 18, her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. You notice that all those passages, you don't just have a ruined relationship. If you're only thinking adultery, you think, oh, the relationship is ruined. These people are winding up dead. No life. But the relationship with wisdom results in life. I suggest to you, Proverbs, you can read it at multiple levels. Remember, this was written to young men. Young men who were princes. The kids, boys of Solomon the king, right? And the best way to get a young man's attention, especially if he's of that teenage years, is to talk about girls. Great way to get a young man's attention. So these are object lessons for a young man, but they're lessons for sons of the king. We are sons of God. We're sons of the King of Heaven. So the lesson for us can't only be about, well, because I mean, there's women here. Talking about adulterous woman, there's no attraction for you in hearing about a woman wearing makeup. There's no attraction there. But if this is not only about an adulteress, if smart dad was teaching a lesson to his kids that on one level is about being careful about the women you're with, and at the other level, it's talking about being wise or being a fool, that level is the deeper lesson that really starts to set up a young man for life that says, if you're not wise in life, you're going to ruin your life. And you might wind up dead. And even worse than dead, ignore the wisdom of the Lord, and you wind up in hell. Mm. So that's what the Proverbs are doing. It's doing double lessons. It's doing a lesson that you can take in and say, yeah, adultery is bad. Very bad. But there's a second lesson here talking about lady foolishness, lady folly, what she's like, how she attracts, how she can suck you in, and at the end, she destroys you. So that's what we're going to look at. So let's start off then with the first aspect of lady folly. Let's look at chapter 9. Verse 13, and I'm going to ask your observations as you read this. Chapter 9, verse 13. The woman of folly, or the foolish woman, is boisterous. She is simple or naive and knows nothing. And then I'm going to read Proverbs 7:11, which you all read together. Proverbs 7:11 says, she is boisterous and rebellious, and her feet do not remain at home. What does it tell us about foolishness when we see that she is boisterous, naive, knows nothing, and doesn't remain at home? What does it tell us about foolishness? Give me some of your insight. What are you seeing about her?
Well, she's prideful. She doesn't want to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. Or if it's anybody, but in this case, you know, she just what she wants to do, and it's of Satan's work. It's not of God's work. It's all of this, all of these 7, 5, 9 chapters, as you have showed us, there's consistency in what they're talking about, and the simple lesson is. The message is, you know, stay in the Word, know what's right and what isn't, and don't dip your finger in it.
Oh, absolutely. Don't.
You know, just stay away from it, because it's that, because we're all human, and especially young men, but even it, I don't think it only, I understand your philosophy and your statement of young men that are have less experience in life are certainly more vulnerable and likely maybe to fall. But Proverbs gives us the fear. It gives us this is the directions, and we cannot do this, you know. And so, you know, that's probably going a little too far saying what I think, but
so young men might be prone to being attracted by
more prone,
but
middle age and men also are still subject to it, and some might not be as afraid as a young man might.
But let's knock it up a level. It's not only about, because some people have gotten to an age that a young girl or a pretty girl does nothing for them. She's whatever. I'd rather have a steak.
You think?
Some people. Let's knock it up a level. What does it say that the foolish woman is? It says she's boisterous. What does that mean?
She's pushy.
Pushy. What else does that mean?
Aggressive.
Loud. Obnoxious.
Loud. Aggressive. Obnoxious.
Draws attention.
Draws attention. Foolishness.
Run.
Is loud, draws attention, it draws the crowd. Is this a temptation for anybody? To be someone who gets the attention? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is real easy to want to have. Not to be in front of a crowd. Some of us are shy and we don't want to be out in front of people. But to get the spotlight, to get the pat on the back, to get the accolades, that's tempting to a lot of us. A lot of us. To hear the words, yeah, this guy does a good job. That's right, I do a good job. We love that. And foolishness is loud. It's talking about like the proclamation, but it says there, she's naive. She knows nothing. It's a lot of show, but no proof. Foolishness is a lot of show and no proof. And that temptation applies to the young man, it applies to the young lady, it applies to the boys, it applies to the girls, it applies to anyone. Have you noticed that sometimes, I don't know if you've noticed this, but whenever the news happens and something happens in the news, Iran does something, Israel does something, Russia does something, all of us suddenly become, all of us become experts in geopolitics. How is that possible? I know nothing about Russia and China, and yet, once it happens in the news, oh, I know it all. Have you noticed that about yourself or about others? How many people that just sit in their living room are suddenly experts in spycraft, warcraft, Bitcoin, vaccinations? People become experts in everything. But it says there, but foolishness is naive and knows nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just loud. All right, that's one bit of... Go ahead, Al.
I'd like to say on, you know, verse 11 here, she is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. Mm-hmm. And although Scripture is referring to female, I've encountered both sexes, and to say, how can I say this, to get my point across, that what I would come to the conclusion after this being revealed, that their feet do not remain at home, when you're thinking, oh, this would be a good wife, or this is a good friend, that you find out that they're like the wind. You ever try to catch the wind? You don't know where it comes from, like Scripture says, or that's the Holy Spirit. But the wind, it has effects. You don't see it coming. You know, the trees will knock over, it'll blow houses up when it's strong enough and breaks your heart, grips you really bad. And, you know, reading this verse anyways, that's what really hit home with me, was folks like this are like the wind. You don't even see it coming, but you'll feel the effects. You'll know the effects. In your heart.
Too late. Mm-hmm. You'll know that that's too late.
Yeah.
But if we have Scripture in our hearts, you know, we guard ourselves. We're, you know, we're aware that the enemy is lurking in whomever. And that's why we have to always be wise of God's word and Scripture. I think that's a good point.
Well, I would say folly has no peace.
Oh, yes.
It's very boisterous and loud and cool. Yeah.
Folly, foolishness.
Foolishness.
And tying these two points together, right? That she has no peace and that she comes and goes, right? Mm-hmm. In this passage in 7, 11, and 12, right? Her feet do not remain at home. She's now in the streets, now in the squares. She lurks by every corner, right? Mm-hmm. Think about home, the idea of home. You know home. You can get up in the dark and you can walk to the bathroom, usually without stubbing a toe, right? You know how to navigate your home in the dark. You know it. But foolishness goes where it doesn't belong, where it doesn't know, and it's all over the place. Yeah. It's all over the place. And it's waiting a pounce. And stupidity, what it's saying, stupidity is around every corner. And if you don't know, and you allow yourself to be in a situation that it's not where you know and out to be somewhere else, you're straying in the path of ready to get pounced by this loud, non-peaceful thing that doesn't stay at home. You're just putting yourself out there. Foolishness is ready to pounce us wherever we're at. And like I said, it doesn't need to be adultery. It doesn't need to be adultery. This happens whenever we start straying off the path for anything. Bitcoin. I don't know anything about Bitcoin. It's a different type of money. But people hear about it, about, ooh, you could get rich with that. And they put money into this thing. Oh, you see a commercial at night. Oh, I don't know about banks. I don't trust banks. But I'm going to call up that number to buy a gold coin or something. And then I'll get money. Constantly looking and searching in places where Scripture tells us things like, work hard, leave it to the Lord, right? And yet, oh, got to get rich somehow. Oh, got to play that lottery. You know, if I could buy maybe 20 tickets, I might just get it this week. Foolishness is constantly looking around. It's loud. It's flashy. This is why I think that it's amazing. If you step back and think, stop thinking about adultery, think about how flashy the signs are for the lottery. They're flashy, right? Big numbers, signs, ooh, bells calling you. The casinos, lights, sounds, all these things calling your attention. And the whole time, you're leaking money. Mm-hmm. You're giving away.
You notice how the signs that say we had a winner are even bigger than the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you go back to wisdom, that's like... So, I mean, that's... She's making a house. It's comfy and warm and cozy. And
yes.
The food is ready and it's all the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Whereas folly is saying, I got some stolen food for you.
Yeah.
It's delicious, and it's better when it's stolen, isn't it? All right, so let's see. Let's tie to that. Let's go to chapter 9 again, verses 14 through 16. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. One common thread, it seems, the end result. If I read chapter 5, 23, it says, he shall die for lack of instruction.
Yes.
And 7, 23 says, till an arrow struck his lever.
Yes.
Okay. And then in 9... 9:18
Yes.
He does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's exactly it. The foolishness kills you. It kills you. Think of, I mean, I'm not going to go into the details, but like in the 80s. The 80s, remember when the AIDS started showing up? Mm. But think about the foolishness that was going on in the 70s that people were cool with. And then all of a sudden, AIDS shows up. Oh, where did this come from? What do you think? Constantly, this foolishness, and it results in destruction. But we're not only concerned about the physical destruction, right? We're concerned about, like how Frank just highlighted, the destruction of the soul in hell, going to hell. Foolishness will deceive you and will trap you. Hell looks very exciting on the road down. It's only when you shut the doors behind you that you realize the wickedness of the decisions you have made. All right, let's look at verses 14 because this is also highlights something about foolishness. She sits at the doorway of her house, 9:14, on a seat by the high places, calling to those who pass by who are making their path straight. So you see people are making their path straight. But she's calling to them, and she says, whoever's naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So you see how she's calling, right? She's calling with something tasty. Sweet bread, stolen waters, tasty. Look at chapter 2, verse 16. To deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words. She's using her words and flattering. Look at chapter 7, verse 21, another similarity here. 7:21. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. What is it telling us about folly, about foolishness? Notice what it said. She's calling, she's persuading, she's flattering, she's enticing, she's seducing. What is foolishness doing?
You're out of control.
Absolutely, she's out of control.
Out of control? To the person pursuing this.
Yeah.
It tries to entice us.
Oh, yeah. It tries to entice us. It's calling for you to let down your guard. Like to Al's point, lose control. Come over here. And it's enticing. Foolishness is constantly saying, come here. Come here.
And that's a temptation.
Yes, it is. It's absolutely a temptation. And she's shiny about it because you notice flattering. What is flattering when somebody flatters you? What is that?
Insincere.
It's very insincere, right? And what are they doing with this insincerity? What are they doing?
They want something,
right? And they're buttering you up, right? That's exactly it. So when you know, we know, there's some people that are just so bad at being insincere, right? They start buttering you up and coming up to you and like, hey, you have a great outfit. You look really good today. Oh, yeah, you know, I've been down on my luck. You look like you're well off. You think you got a couple of bucks that you can loan me? You know when somebody's going to butter you up, and you know they're buttering you up, and they're giving you, they're about to lay it down on you, right? But there are some people that know how to flatter you and tickle your ear, and you go, I am pretty good.
And verse 26, it says, yay, many strong men have been slain by her.
Yes! Whoa. That's the thing, because we can outright say that, oh, that person will trap us. But the thing is, after a while, you will be seduced. Now, of course, you could just be talking about an adulteress, but foolishness will seduce you. Stupidity, one of the best things about stupidity is that it calls to you and it makes you feel smart. That's one of the great things. Oh, you are so smart. You are so smart. That's what stupidity does. It tells you you're smart. You are making the right decision. Yes, you're making the right decision. Join in. This is the right decision. And then you make the decision and you realize, what an idiot I was. This is what foolishness does. And this can apply to everything. I have seen videos online. I find this fascinating. I've seen videos online, and now I'm going to use an example from adultery, of women saying, I was with the man who took care of my kids, who went to work, who worked on the house. I never heard him say I love you to me, and I said I wanted more. Now I'm dating, and I realized I lost what I had. I can't find somebody like him. I've seen that from women. But that's an example of an adultery, right? That you get seduced because it tells you you deserve better. But this happens all the time. I don't know how many times I've known people throughout my life with jobs. They're at a job for 6 months, and then the first 6 months, best job in the world, this is great. The seventh month, this is the worst job ever. I've made the worst mistake of my life. And then they're looking at the other jobs, ready to go out. And then when they start talking about their situation at life, oh, I don't know, I can't make the next paycheck. I'm like, then why didn't you stay at a job? Constantly, foolishness is the thing that entices you. It pulls you in. Foolishness is the thing that says, you don't need to study right now. Why don't you have a little fun? Having fun is fun, right? Playing with toys is fun.
Yeah.
Playing with toys is fun. But foolishness goes, have a little fun right now. And then you realize next time, I don't know how to do this math. I don't know how to read this page. Foolishness works at all levels, but it's always attractive. And it convinces you what you're getting out of it is great. It's great.
Yeah.
Even though it's the wrong thing. You're going to say something there, Jesse? It looks like you're something at the tip of your tongue.
Just
goes back to the beginning of Proverbs that to receive, chapter 1, verse 3, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. You know, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain unto wise counsel to understand the proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark saying. So if we always refer back to this, you know, you have to be a wise man. You need to seek more wisdom. You know, if your mind and your heart is there always, that's like going in a fight, being the toughest guy in the town or in the bar or wherever you are, and go into that fight with no guard up and take a couple sucker shots. Mm-hmm. You go down. So if you're a Christian man and you have the Holy Spirit, you know the Lord is your Savior, and you know His Word, you keep it in you, you have your guard up at all times. Let your guard down, and you are subjected to getting tempted, tricked, and falling, and sinning, and doing against whoever the temptator, the person that the enemy is working within, because the enemy knows all our weaknesses, and so they know exactly where to strike and when to strike. That's why we have to have our guard all the time. We have to be always in the Word and always, you know, you just know that, and it says it here. It says to be wise. It says to have understanding and knowledge and to hear the instructions. And so we have to constantly be doing that, because when we stop, that's when we become open.
Yeah,
so to speak.
This goes to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Look at verse 6 and, no, verse 4 and 5. Proverbs 7, 4 and 5. Say to wisdom, you're my sister, and call understanding your kinswoman. Or it says in other translations, your intimate friend. Right? So it's saying, you're going to wisdom and you're saying, you are family to me. I'm always going to hold on to you. That's what he's saying to wisdom. Why? Look at verse, the next verse. That they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. You want to stay away from foolishness? The way you stay from foolishness is not by saying, I'm going to ignore foolishness, I'm going to ignore foolishness, I'm going to ignore foolishness, because that's not going to work. What you need to do is stay close to wisdom. You hug wisdom.
Yeah.
You learn wisdom.
Yeah.
Go back to chapter 9. This is where, and remember I opened up, I was stopping Rob from speaking, and when Rob spoke, I would say something, and when Joy spoke, when a person sits there and says, verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Mm-hmm. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The way of wisdom, if you want to be a lover of Lady Wisdom, you spend time with Lady Wisdom. You learn from Lady Wisdom, which in this case is, you go to the Word. You spend time in the Word. You acknowledge, by myself, I will go down the foolish path. I need to stay in the Word. Because the picture set up here, going back to Frank's earlier point, folly, foolishness, her road ends in death. Wisdom, her road ends in life. Which means you never want to let go of wisdom, because anything else is death. Mm. You have to stay with wisdom. Or you can be a fool. They both lay out their house. They both set up their meal. Lady Wisdom is calling you, hey, have a meal, stick with me. Folly is calling, have a meal, stick with me. And we're being asked, which of these two women do you want to have a relationship with? Do you want to have a relationship with Lady Wisdom? That means you spend your time with her and she becomes your family. You want to have a relationship with the strange Lady Folly? You can, but you're in trouble. It's going to end in death. This is a lesson for us.
It also, where you're, if you do get involved in your trouble, throw caution to the wind.
Oh boy.
Even the Lord kind of says he'll take you out early.
Yes.
Especially if you're a saved person.
Yeah.
Maybe a person that's not saved, or that's their life after it, is death, yeah. Separation from God. But a person that is a born-again Christian that goes to wayward, and the Lord may a good chance to take you out early, because he says he will.
Yeah.
There's a possibility, mm-hmm. So you got to be very careful.
Caution. He saves us from our own foolishness.
Oh, yeah.
By taking our lives and bringing us
into
his glory.
And I think by knowing the Lord, knowing the Word, that fear is there. Hey, I better not cross this line here.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe in trouble here. Because it may amplify, too.
It's a good lesson to remind us, the more you grow in faith and in wisdom, the more you are aware of the utter foolishness of not remaining in the wisdom of the Lord.
And in this note also, in the scripture where it says, you know, that this folly person, woman, tempting and stuff, well, sometimes it's not as plain and simple as come and eat with me or dine with me or something. You know, the enemy, the devil, knows what our eyes like.
Oh, yes.
You know? And so it's way more deeper than just beware of this smooth-talking person that's going to con you and smooth you into thinking that she's just a nice person. Or, you know, it could be, it doesn't, but it's deeper than that. Sometimes it's not that simple.
Oh,
it's not that simple.
That's right.
Because the devil knows, you know what, he's going to pick up on this. Let's really be deceitful. You know, and then the devil knows a person, a man's weakness. We all have different weaknesses, but he knows it too, like, I mean, to a millimeter beyond. I mean, to a thousandth. I mean, just right down to the point of the arrow. And that's why we always have to have the Word in our hearts, because the devil is always lurking, always. And when he wants us, he goes for the most vulnerable parts, the weakest that we, and we all know our weakness. That's why we have to, and as we grow, I find as I continue to grow, you know, the Holy Spirit, it just comes to me, you know, because it's in the Lord's words in my heart, and it doesn't, and I don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that I'm untouchable, because that would be wrong.
Right.
But I'm much less, much, much, much less apt to fall into it. It's the more we have our guard up, the more that we're in Scripture, the more that we read daily, we pray daily. And in Proverbs, for me, from way back when, got my attention, because it was really specific and straightforward to specific things, and it was in plain, simple English, you know, beware of all these different things. So,
and that's why I like what you're saying, though. Like, it might not be, Proverbs is on purpose making a very clear picture of a lady
yes,
who's calling.
Yes,
it's doing it on purpose.
But it could be in business.
It could
be
business,
in any kind of relationship.
It
anything.
Could be anything. Like, I think about when I was younger, and it happens today, right? Somebody does something wrong, right? They do something wrong. They screwed up somehow in life. And the first thing that they listen to is the voice in their head that says, you shouldn't go to church. You don't belong there. You need to stay away. You need to get yourself right. And they stay home. That's foolishness. It's at that moment that you need to be with the people of God. This is a bunch of broken people who have been saved by grace. And yet foolishness is saying, you need to fix yourself before getting to those people. And what do I've seen this time and time and time again. The person stays away, and then they fall away from the church, and they stop coming. And I'm like, what did you do? And what was it? They weren't tempted by a boisterous woman. They were called, the voice that called to them was the one that said, you really messed up. You need to stay back.
Right, there's three battles that every human battles. It's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It's the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are the three areas that the foolish woman will go and attack. Mm-hmm. That's what Satan did with Adam and Eve. That's what Satan tried to do with Jesus Christ. When it comes down to a conclusion of the whole matter, I think Solomon had it in Ecclesiastes. And 12 and verse 13 and 14, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's the conclusion of the whole matter when I'm hearing tonight. You got a foolish woman, you got a smart woman, a wise woman. But what it really comes down to is the three battles we face every day. And pride takes a lot of it. A foolish woman will grab you with your eyes.
Yes.
For a man. I know about a woman, because I'm not one. But the physical way of a woman will grab the man's eyes.
Yes.
I don't know what grabs the woman's eyes.
Yeah.
But it really comes down to the pride of life.
Right.
Am I going to fear God or fear or reverence the foolish woman?
That's right.
See, it seems to me like Satan, he ain't ever given up.
No.
He's going out. He ain't.
He's going down
fighting.
The
day you die, he's going to be tempting and testing you.
Yeah.
And as good as you think you are, he's not going to give up. He's gonna want to get you.
Yeah. I find it fascinating in the book of Revelation.
I can vouch for that.
in the book of Revelation, it has the dragon coming out to go fight against the people of God, right? And it's given a number of days. And it says this amount of days. And what does it do? It doesn't stop fighting. It spends the rest of those days chasing the people of God. And it's like, Satan's not going to stop. He knows he lost. He knows he lost. But he wants to take down as many people
as he
can.
Exactly.
He wants to. Our stupidity, to like Brian's point, is thinking that, I've got my eyes covered, so I'm good. And it's like, no. I got a couple of other attacks. Because Brian, like you said, like a guy's temptation might be looks. Maybe for some guys. But I've seen some guys leave their wives for some butt ugly women. And I'm like, what happened there? And you know what she did? She patted him on the back and she told him he did a good job. And he went to her.
That's your pride.
Flattery. Yeah. And of course, this is talking about adult, but it could be anything. Like Jesse said, it could be business. It could be our voice saying, it could be anything. Like you said, the end of the matter is this, fear the Lord. We need to fear the Lord.
Because when I was working as an auditor, mm-hmm. and I would go into the contractors, I would play dumb. And they would give me more information than they should have. All the time, because you're attacking their, it's almost like a flattery, because going, I really don't understand. And they would say, Brian, but you've been here 20 years. I said, but could you go over that one more time?
You were doing a Columbo?
it's amazing how much they'll give you.
Well, I've played dumb, or I haven't played dumb, and somebody says, you're playing dumb. I'm like, I'm not playing. I'm just talking. All right, so prayer request.
Right, what you were saying, there's an old song from our era. The old song, I don't know, but the rest of it says, she may be ugly, but she sure can cook.
And you love some flesh.
Stop the recording?
Yeah, you can stop the recording. Thank you very much, Jesse.
Yeah.